This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games.
What are you two up to? Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. You want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
If I get your friend, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You are my love.
Hour number two of Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. You can reach us on the text line at 503-864-6326. I don't shout out the socials too often, but if you want to hit us up on the social meds.
Yeah, follow me. I'll follow you back.
You can find us at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H. The C is for champion. Rashad Taylor is at TaylorMade503. Is that on Twitter and Instagram?
That's on both.
And then Jordan is on the air. Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N.
Yippers. Same
Twitter.
Same spelling as Jordan Hudson, Belichick's 24-year-old girl.
Oh, well, there you go.
Isn't that weird?
I didn't even know her name.
You didn't? Come on. Yeah, that's a lie.
No, I swear to God, I didn't know. I just knew she was a hot.
Her name is Jordan Hudson.
There you go. Also, just had to inform Rashad of Joseph Kony in the commercial break. Jordan, do you remember Kony? Kony 2012?
I don't think so, no.
Am I crazy right here? The guy that that was the Ugandan child soldier, like, leader, and there was a big social media campaign and viral video about how we need to bring him to justice, and it got everybody all up in arms, like, we gotta find this guy!
Yeah, forgetting about that one, unfortunately.
Wow. Kony 2012. Yeah. See, and it even says on this article I'm looking, you are lying if you did not watch this entire 30-minute video and then ask your parents to buy a shirt. Yeah, the entire world rallied to bring Joseph Kony to justice, and then the maker of this documentary was then found in San Diego like a year later, like butt-ass naked running around the streets.
You Cheeks, baby.
You don't remember any of this?
I don't.
My God. Wow. This goes along the last segment. We were talking about the like craziest like events of the last 10 years.
I think I was too caught up in the Borat stuff at the time, honestly.
Yeah.
Rachel Dolezal was pretty...
she was closer to... Was that
the chick who was white and tried to and said she was black?
Yeah.
The president of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP.
You didn't even
Spokane
have to be black.
Spokane has that?
They do.
Right? Like, she didn't even have to be black to be able to be in that position. Like, a lot of the people that work with NAACP are not black. You know, a lot of people that are, like, head up charters and stuff like that. So it was like, you didn't have to do that at all, you know? And then tell people, like, you're... You know, like, come on, man.
Wearing cornrows and darkening your skin as much as possible.
Like,
yeah.
Do your thing. I know
the
tons of white girls.
Sammy Sosa.
I know tons of white girls that had cornrows and looked pretty good. So I'm not tripping, like, you know, about that stuff. But, like, come on, man. Are you black? I don't get the question. Yes, you do. Like, well, do you understand? are you black or are you white? It's okay. Like, you can still be white and be in your position. Like, don't do that. But, yeah, Rachel Dolezal was... But, well, you know, and if there comes a Razor draft, we'll take her. Black delegation.
We keep having them. You take Rachel Dolezal.
Got yourself a damn deal.
Is that any more embarrassing than what Devondre Campbell did for the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday night? Because that.
Good Lord.
I was trying to think, you know, as our NFL season almost comes to a wrap, here we are, week 15. So we got, what, 4 more weeks left in the NFL season. That I'm trying to like come up with a list of the most embarrassing moments of the NFL season. And there is the Anthony Richardson subbing himself out because of being tired is up there. Who's Tyreek Stevenson for the Chicago Bears talking S to the Washington Commanders fans on the last play of the game.
And then giving up
the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's embarrassing. I guess it's more so embarrassing just for the individual than the team, because the 49ers, I mean, they're a different kind of embarrassing right now. I don't know. The only time I can remember seeing a player quit on a team in mid-game and leaving the game was Vontae Davis.
Former Niner, right?
I don't think he played for that. All I remember,
he was a
Dolphin, he was a Colt, and he was a Bill.
And it was when he played for the Bills.
See, and I thought it was when he played for the Colts, but
yeah, I think
this,
you're right. It's the Bills.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he quit on his team
half-time.
And retired after that. So, half-time. I mean, at least he, you know.
He's still true.
Yeah,
like, man,
exactly.
It wasn't a thing about the team. He was just like, you know. And
I'm good. I'm just done.
You know, and I'm surprised. I'm sure it happens more often than we think, like, and probably with players that are lower on the depth chart and stuff like that, that, you know, and we don't hear about them because they don't really make an impact on the team. But just playing and, like, get tired of traveling, get tired of all the stuff, and then you get to the game and you don't play, and it's like, man, you know what? I think I'm done. I don't think I want to do this anymore. I can imagine, like, especially if you're a baseball player or a basketball player.
I'm kind of tired.
That do a lot of traveling.
I think I want to go home now.
You mean like Anthony Richardson when he got benched?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, again, that's why I asked this question. It's like, is this... You know, that's embarrassing.
Quitting on your
team and walking off the field mid-game after being called upon. Your team has been ravaged by injuries all year. They need you, and this is how you. Well, this is what you do.
What's my man from the Ravens that refused to go in the receiver?
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson. Yeah, that was like,
man,
hey,
that,
going
that,
back
I mean,
in.
Mike Wallace is going back, but
that,
he did quit.
That's been a little bit, you know, it hasn't been talked about as much, but I mean, that's up there too.
He's not as big a name, and so I think that's.
Well, I mean, this Devondre Campbell guy's not a big name either, but yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's like, and also, if this would have happened maybe on a Sunday when there's like 8 other games going at the same time, maybe it slips under the cracks, but. Since this was on Thursday night and you are the national game and it's the only thing going on NFL-wise, like
everybody saw
it completely. Well, granted, there weren't a lot of highlights and headlines coming from that 12-6 20 punt game on Thursday night. So obviously this took attention away from it. But I mean, man, I don't know what I'm put. And obviously, you know, the recency bias plays a factor. This might be the worst, most embarrassing moment of the season. To not quit or sub yourself out because you're tired, to literally just quit on your team.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good.
It is like the complete antithesis of what you were supposed to do as an NFL player.
If this isn't a thing about you just being done completely, right? Like retiring, much like Vontae Davis, just like walking off the field and being done with it, and you're expecting to get another team to sign you? You're expected for other teams to look at you and to call your agent? Like,
well, and he hasn't been cut yet. Like, no, he might get suspended is what it looks like. I mean, he might not even...
But I think this happened on Thursday. I think if it was going to happen, they would have done it already.
That's what I'm saying,
And I think, honestly, so I'm not sure exactly what the 49ers stance on this whole thing is right now.
They're like, well, we need warm
bodies.
Right
now, it's an S show in San Francisco. It is not for a team that just went to the Super Bowl 9 months ago, 10 months, like, this is not the same team. Like, something is clearly wrong.
Lost
with the
four
it's
of
not,
their
it's
last
more,
five.
And it's more than just injuries. At first, it was just injuries, right? And now, like, I don't know if that's as much a thing. Like, they are just not in a great space.
Well, I mean, you got Debo complaining and then dropping passes that are right in the bread basket.
I think that when you're a great team and you're going through these type of struggles, like, it's that locker room is not a great place. So,
have we heard from Devondre Campbell yet, like, at all? No, I know we've heard from the Niners. We've heard from all the other players. We've heard from coaches. I have not heard a peep from the player himself since any of this happened.
I want to say that he did have a tweet or something on Instagram.
Okay.
He posted something, and he's I think it was along the lines of, someone out there is going to get a real one. Meaning, like, when I get cut, you know, and picked up by another
team. That's what he thinks, That's what he thinks. But and that's my thing. I don't know what happened. Like, with the whole, we forget about Antonio Brown, you know, a couple of years ago, just middle of the game.
Double bird.
Whole spectacle, you know, of it and everything like that. But we kind of, as time progressed, we found out more about Antonio Brown. We found out more about that situation from his side and from the Buccaneers side and everything. And I think more people still kind of lean with, you know, the Buck side of things from here, but I don't know what happened from San Francisco on that game on Thursday. What's the friction
he
that
has
makes
been,
you not want to go in?
He has been starting because Dre Greenlaw has been down, and Dre Greenlaw was going to start because he is better than Devondre Campbell, and Devondre Campbell got pissed about that. So, but sorry, buddy. I don't understand what the issue is. Like, and then to say that somebody's getting a real one.
Like, did somebody say something? Were you disrespected in being put back on the bench? Like, that would provide more context. Because right now, it just seems like you're the jackass that left his team high and dry, you know, before the game was over. That's what it looks like. And that's how everybody's going to view you until there's more stuff that comes out. I think there's a certain pocket of people with Antonio Brown that were like, all right, I see why you was mad. Whether you're right or wrong, I think people understand that, and I don't think we're having a hard time understanding this.
So, just put a bow on it. According to Shanahan, Campbell actually had been asked to enter the game in the second quarter when strong side linebacker D. Winters departed with a neck injury. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles had to step in for Winters after Campbell told the coaching staff he didn't want to play.
When do you think Campbell was told about it? Just quickly. Like, because if he wasn't told about it until right before the game, I might see why he has an argument about being upset. Like, you got to be a pro. You're a millionaire. This is the NFL.
You can be
this
upset,
college,
but you don't do this.
No, of course not. But I just wonder, to Rashad's point, I do wonder how the Niners handled this when he was told, if he was told last Monday, hey, Dre might be back on Sunday, so your snaps might decrease, but we're still going to prep you like you're the one. I don't know if or when he heard that.
Yeah, I still don't see any excuse, any reason. I mean, the NFL dudes get done dirty all the time by teams, whatever. It's a business, as they say. And, you know, players that care about having a job, having a spot on the team. And, you know, again, it's a team. It's not about you. And this is, you know, you got to make sacrifices. And sorry, dude, like, this is what we're rolling with. We pay him a lot more. We know he's a better player, and if he's available to play, we're going to play him. And you're our backup. That's what it is. That's how it's going to be. And you're either stay with it or get lost. So,
jeez, Joe.
Hey!
You don't fire people very often, do you?
No, but damn it, I'll step in and do it for Shanahan.
Thanks,
Lynch.
Coach.
You're fired.
Thanks, Coach.
You're useless. You're fired.
Cold-blooded. Man. Cold-blooded. Want to get to the Week 15 action, though. I mean, we had one game in the bag between the Rams and 49ers on Thursday night, but I want to talk about some of these games because there's a lot with playoff implications. There are some playoff clinching scenarios, but I want to talk about some percentages as far as if teams win or lose today's games. We get to that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. NFL Week 15. We got some solid matchups today. We do.
Let me pull up my phone because my computer isn't working over here, or my password, so gotta have a talk with IT, I guess.
Cowboys, Panthers.
Is that where we started?
No, but something interesting from that game. Panthers are favored. I think it's for like the first time in 2 years or something like that.
How does that feel
to be an underdog to the Panthers?
Oh, it feels great. As many losses as we can take, I'm down. Keep climbing up those draft boards, baby.
So, I don't want to shift gears too much, Joe, but what do the Cowboys do if you are in that draft? Or if you are that top pick of the draft, top two, because it sounds like at this point you're going to be within the top five probably.
Trade down to get more draft picks because you need a lot. You need a lot of dudes, a lot of players. But some games that are interesting today as far as playoff implications and teams that are either on the cusp of the playoffs or are looking for a berth or something like that. Dolphins, Texans. Dolphins fighting for the playoffs lives. Texans could clinch the AFC South today.
Weird.
Colts, Broncos are both fighting for some wild card spots there. Bills, Lions, that's game of the day. 54.5 point total in that one, by the way. Steelers, Eagles, the Battle of Pennsylvania there. The Buccaneers versus the Chargers, two teams fighting for the playoffs as well. Sunday night, you get Packers versus Seahawks. And I mean, that's about it as far as like playoff matchup esque games. I mean, we get a doubleheader on Monday night, but it's Bears, Vikings, and Falcons, Raiders. Ew. But I did want to bring this up because there are some games that, depending on the outcome, can drastically shift what the trajectory of these teams' playoff chances are. So, starting in the AFC, the Denver Broncos against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, this game has the biggest implications in it because the Broncos right now are holding on to that final wild card spot at 8-5. They are two games above the Indianapolis Colts, right? If the Broncos win this game, their current playoff percentage, let's do this. Their current playoff percentage is 75%. If they win this game, they are 91% chance of making the playoffs. If the Broncos lose this game, they are a 51% chance of making the playoffs. And that's the same for the Colts as far as if they win this game. The Colts, if they win, they have a 51% chance of making the playoffs. Whereas if they lose this game, the Colts' percentage of missing the playoffs goes to 6%.
So you're saying this is a must-win game for the Colts?
Yes.
If they want to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Right now, this... If you're looking, the Broncos have been playing some really good football over the past 3 weeks. Prior to them having the bye.
I had to make my apology a couple weeks ago after that Falcons game where they just absolutely bludgeoned them.
And
38-6, I think it was.
Bo Nix is starting to develop, you know, a little bit for this team, but they're winning games.
Interesting stat about Bo Nix I saw. He has the most 20-yard-plus completions in the NFL this season.
Really?
Yeah. Which is crazy considering he was a checkdown artist, right?
I mean, that's what they called him, you know, for a lot of time. But, I mean, he's proven that he has what it takes to be a starting NFL quarterback, and his team is, you know, a game away from potentially securing a playoff, you know, berth. But then on the other side, they have been playing bad football over the last few weeks in Indianapolis. Like, it was looking bleak for a minute, but they were kind of able to right the ship, and they're 2-3 over the last three. But still... The two wins were against the Jets and the Patriots, which are the two of the worst teams, you know, in the league at this point. And their one loss came against the Lions, who are the very best team. So it's really kind of hard to know what kind of football we're going to get from this Colts team. So I fully expect Denver to win this game. But like you said, Joe, if they have any hope of going to the playoffs, like Anthony Richardson and company have to come through today.
Well, the Dolphins, again, they're sitting there at 6-7 along with the Colts. Their playoff chances are a little bit more bleak. With a win, it gets up to 22%, and the Dolphins play the Texans today. Again, the Texans, they could clinch their division with a win today. But if the Dolphins win, their chances go up to 22%. If the Dolphins lose and drop to 6-8, their chances of making the playoff, only 3%. So, again, another must-win game because you are treading water at that point if you're the Miami Dolphins. And you're a Dolphin. You should be able to tread water.
You should be pretty good at that, right? You know, and the Dolphins, again, playing some good football over the last, like, month. You know, they're, what, 4-1?
Yeah, they dropped one a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that was the Thanksgiving game. That was, an ugly game for them.
You know, so, I mean, I think this is the Dolphins game to lose at this point. The Texans are kind of like...
The Texans have been inconsistent as all hell.
No,
this year,
and they just don't. They won two of their last three games, but again, the games prior to that weren't very good. So they started to kind of turn it around, but again, up and down and up and down, and that's expected when you got a team that made it further than I think a lot of people figured they would make it last year, right? With the Texans, and then a lot of expectations for CJ Stroud and this Texans squad. So they kind of had a big bullseye on their back this year, and I think teams were ready for them. But still, they've been able to win. They got 8 wins, you know, on the year, and so they've been doing something right. But at the same time, like you can tell it's clearly not the same team as last year.
And they got a win against the Bills earlier in the season. So if they can kind of channel what they were doing at that point, but the last 7-8 weeks, the Texans have been a very inconsistent, very weird team. Right. Moving over to the NFC, the Buccaneers, they take on the Chargers today. The Buccaneers are trying to win that NFC South. If the Bucs win against Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers, their playoff chances go to 87%. Mm. Right now, their chances are 71%, so still pretty good, but it bumps up to 87. If they lose today's game, it goes down to 59%. So Bucks looking for a win against the Chargers. The Chargers right now, actually, when you look at theirs, playoff chances are looking pretty good, even with a win or loss today. If the Chargers win today, it's 96%. If they lose, it's 83%. So the Chargers right now are, you know, sitting pretty as far as playoffs go. They just need to finish strong here towards the end with Jim Harbaugh and crew.
They do. I think they can have some problems with this Bucs team. I think quietly the Buccaneers are a very good team. I think they're doing all the right things for the most part to kind of stay consistent. And for the Chargers, They've been winning games, but they haven't been beating good teams. And so this is going to be a great test if they can kind of get over this hump. And because they lost last a close one, you know, albeit to the Chiefs last week. But again, you beat the Falcons, who I don't think a lot of people expect much from. You lost the Ravens. You beat the Bengals, Titans, and Browns, who, again, are kind of in this weird purgatory spot right now. So if they can come out and beat this really talented Buccaneers squad, I think that says a lot about this Chargers team and what Justin Herbert and this company's doing over there, man. Hopefully this is the year for Herbert.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, he made the playoffs once before, but we all know how that ended.
Yeah,
the Jags.
If he can get a playoff win, potentially a trip to the AFC Championship game, like, okay, I think that will do a lot for Herbert's confidence.
Seahawks versus Packers. Before that, the Rams with their win over the 49ers, it gives them a 41% chance to make the playoffs. If they would have lost that game, it went to 16%. The 49ers now with less than 1% chance to make the playoffs. Their season's basically done.
No,
I think we all know
over.
That.
It's over.
The Seahawks and Packers, though, that is your Sunday night game. You can hear that right here on 10. Can you hear that on 1080 The Fan?
Seahawks, that's over on 910 because of Ducks basketball.
Right.
Ducks hosting Stephen F. Austin.
Hey, today. You gotta hear that Ducks versus Stephen F. Austin game, okay? I'm sorry, Seahawks. Seahawks versus Packers. If the Seahawks win tonight, 84% chance to make the playoffs. If the Seahawks lose tonight, 56% chance to make the playoffs. So, again, to use that must-win moniker, it's not a must-win for the Seahawks, but, boy, you are sitting real good as far as making the playoffs if you are able to get this win against the Packers. And I'm sorry, I just had the schedule up. Is this game in Green
Seattle.
Bay? It's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seattle.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, Seattle at home is one of the tougher teams, regardless of what year. And you get a team like Green Bay at home, that is a huge opportunity that you need to take advantage of. And again, you're sitting pretty to win the division. You got the Cardinals twice. You got both of those wins. You are better than the Rams. You're better than the 49ers. Go out and win this division. Seal it up over the next couple weeks, and you can start that tonight with a win against Green Bay.
Yeah, I think Green Bay is going to be fired up, too, after coming off that loss against that close loss against the Lions was the last week, and then another loss to the Lions a few weeks prior to that. I think they're going to be fired up for this game. However, If you're Seattle, you got to be feeling really good about where you are right now. You've won your last four games coming into this game against a team that's going to really come after you today, but you're playing at home. The weather is probably going to be a factor. We know Green Bay can play in the cold, in the snow. Can they play in the rain? So I guess we'll figure that out.
And we will figure out what we want to lose money on this week. It has been a few weeks since we've done Who Do You Love, because I want to say we could have done it last week, but we might have started a show a little bit later. And
I don't remember that.
There's playoff stuff to get to. So we didn't get one in last week, but let's get to Who Do You Love. Let's check the current standings of the season, how it's going right now. And again, lose our Monopoly money on this week 15 of NFL action. We get to that next. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right, who do you love? Let's take a look back. We got to be quick on these ones, boys. We're already up against it.
Yeah, we'll be quick.
Week 12 was the last time we did this. Your boy went 2-1, now bringing him to a 17-12-1 record on the year. You guys, come on. Come get me. I'm waiting for you. No, for this.
It's not going to happen,
you
bro.
You shut up.
You got 4 weeks left. Rashad went 1-2 that week to bring his season record to 12-14-1. And Jordan went 1-2 that week as well to bring his record to 12-16-2. So week 15 action, taking a look at the board. What was the game I was looking at here? Bengals Titans. The Titans are going to be without Tony Pollard, and they are trash. The Bengals can put up points, and I believe they are going to cover the 6. I shouldn't be betting on the Bengals, but listen, their season is essentially on the line in this game. They have to do a lot to make the playoffs, but I feel like this should be one that they should get. And taking on a lowly Titans team that is without one of their main pieces, give me the Bengals -6.
I was actually, it's funny, I was going to take that same game, except I'm taking the over-under. The over is 46.5. I think I'm going to take the under on this game.
I'll go Steelers for my first one to cover 5.5 versus the Eagles. I like them a lot.
Steelers over the Eagles?
+5.5.
Actually, that is a good one. Yeah. I do like that.
Tasty line, right?
I must have read something wrong, because Tony Pollard definitely is playing. But I don't care. I'm going to stick with it. I'm sticking to my guns, damn it. So Bengals -6. Now, Vegas, they did set this number at a very high number. Bills Lions 54.5. But I'm still going to roll with the over. I feel like we're going to get fireworks. We're indoors in Detroit. Two of the best offenses in the league. I'm going to go Bills Lions over the 54.5. That's a big number.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ravens visiting the Giants. Ravens are 16.5-point favorites. I'm taking Ravens to cover.
Are the Dolphins missing anybody today? Like, I'm kind of shocked that they're underdogs. I know they're on the road, but that they're underdogs against
Houston. Hold on, sorry. You're taking the Ravens to cover 16.5 against the Giants?
Yes.
That's a lot of points.
That's what it says.
That's got to be like one of the biggest spreads. Yeah, of
I think
all
it might be.
I think it might be too.
All right.
It's
sorry.
The Giants and it's the Ravens, so yes.
And then, Jordan, you said you were taking Steelers to cover the 5.5. I did not see anything about the Dolphins, but granted, don't take my word for it because I said Tony Pollard wasn't playing, but and he definitely is. So
it just looks like such a good one. My plus 2.5, I cannot believe that the Texans are favored in this one. I'll take Miami.
Miami.
Plus 2.5.
Rashad, what was your first one again there?
I was taking the under for the... Bengals Titans.
Bengals Titans under. All right, I'll find the number here.
Yeah, it's 46.5.
46.5. That's a pretty trash defense that the Bengals have, but then again, that's a pretty trash offense that the Titans have. So, you might be good there.
That's what I'm thinking.
See, Jake Haener starting for the Saints today.
Yeah, because Derek Carr is an idiot and
Spencer Rattler kind of sucks.
Try to jump over the lineman or whoever and try to get that first down last week and then broke his hand. Yeah. Lord, I mean, listen,
80 minute cast.
Gotta appreciate the effort, but try and keep yourself healthy.
But do you?
Chiefs Browns is something I am not gonna bet on. The Cowboys Panthers. I kinda wanna go there. It's intriguing. I kind of want to take the Panthers to cover because the Cowboys, they have injuries all over the place. Trayvon Diggs isn't playing. Heartbreaking. They lost to DeMarvion Overshawn last week in their game against the Bengals. Literally tore like every ligament in his knee.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like ACL, MCL, PCL, what other CL is in the knee, he tore it, which sucks because he was one of the only shining lights of that team. Let's go, Panthers. We're covering the 3.5 today, baby. They covered last week's spread against the Eagles, which was like 13.5, 14.5. I see the Panthers, who have been mighty close to some victories against some good teams over the last couple of weeks. They get a win against a Cowboys team that is spiraling. Panthers, -2.5, get the dub today in Carolina.
I'm going Packers visiting the Seahawks. I know the Packers are favored by 2.5 points, but I'm picking the Seahawks to win straight up.
Straight up!
I like that.
Seahawks, NL. Got it. Locked in.
Cardinals, Patriots. I'm going under 46. Yeah, Drake Mays had New England a little bit better, but if I see a lot of points scored on this one, it's going to be on the Arizona side. So I'm going under the 46-point total.
Boy, the Cardinals need to win this one if they want to save their playoff chances. They've lost now 3 in a row, 2 of those being to the Seahawks. Close one against the Vikings a couple weeks ago. If they lose this game at home against the Patriots, that their season's over.
If you lose against the Patriots, your season should be over.
Your season should be in question, yeah, regardless of at what point in the year that happens. All right. I think we got them all. 9-0 week right there. I'm taking the Bengals -6, Bills Lions over 54.5. God, that's scary. And the Panthers to cover -2.5. Bengals Titans for Rashad. That is the under or the over. Sorry.
The under.
The under.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And the Ravens to cover 16.5 against the Giants, which, I mean, it's a big number, but quite honestly, I would not be surprised if that happens. And then Seahawks money line. Steelers +5.5 for Jordan, as well as the Dolphins +2.5, and Cardinals Patriots under 46. That is Who Do You Love? We're going to wrap this show up next, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Boys, by this time next week, we will know who the Oregon Ducks are playing in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff in the Rose Bowl.
That's crazy.
That is. We didn't even do a bracket, by the way. We started doing a bracket last week, but then we were up against whatever. Is that a thing? Do you think ADHD that'll turn into a thing? Maybe when we get into the we go from 12 teams to 14 or 16 within the next year or two, which I'm sure we'll do.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be, you know, again, what do we call it? The February frenzy or something like that?
Oh, well, I don't think we didn't joust. If we didn't come up for a name for that either.
The January juggle.
The holiday the havoc. Jaunt. Again, oh yeah, the January
holiday havoc. I like it.
The January jaunt. Wasn't that what we decided was like an old 70s dance there or 60s go. Dance or something like that. But the action begins on Friday, actually. The first game is on Friday. Indiana at Notre Dame. The Battle of the State of Indiana. That's 5 o'clock on ABC or ESPN. Indiana is a dog. 7.5-point favorites, Notre Dame is. And then on Saturday, we get 3 games. It's going to be weird because 2 of the games are on TNT.
Mm.
A part of the TNT ESPN deal that they struck. I think that also involves some NBA stuff as well. But 9 a.m. on Saturday next week, SMU at Penn State. That's followed by 1 o'clock Clemson at Texas, and then 5 o'clock on ABC, Tennessee at Ohio State. Now, I got to check my calendar real quick to make sure there is nothing going on next Saturday. Okay, we're in the clear. Nothing happened.
Good.
My girlfriend has a special calendar that she made just for me to let me know, like, hey, this
when
is what's
going on. When you can and can't watch football?
No.
Basically.
No. Smart. Actually, bless her little heart. She has let me watch more football this year than I thought was possible.
What's your job?
She's down.
That's what I always say to my wife. It's like, man, I have to spend the next 3 hours watching this game.
Three.
Like, don't you want me to be successful?
10 a.m.
I mean, don't you want me to get paid?
10 a.m. in the morning till 9:30, 9 o'clock at night.
It's a tough job.
Baby. Until SVP ends. It's a 12-hour shift, essentially.
Look at the lifestyle I've been able to provide for you based on me working here Sundays. Like, come on, man. Like, she's got to understand.
So thank God there is nothing on the schedule for next Saturday, the 21st, because, yeah, from 9 a.m. until that final game ends between Tennessee and Ohio State, I will be doing nothing but watching college football.
Heck yeah.
O-H-I-O. Let's go, man. Let's
oh,
go
that's
Ohio
right.
State.
Yeah.
Pulling for you, man. Never pulled for Ohio State before.
As far as who I want to win, I think we're going Indiana in the Notre Dame game, pull the upset. SMU over Penn State for obvious reasons. Clemson, Texas. Now this is it's choosing the lesser of two evils there. There's definitely part of me that kind of wants to see Clemson pull the upset. But I don't know. I think I would want to see Texas take on Boise State. Actually, I don't think that would be the matchup. It'd be Arizona State. That's right. Texas take on Arizona State. And then Tennessee, Ohio State. I want Tennessee to win that one. F Ohio State.
I want Oregon to beat Ohio State twice. I think that'd be cool.
It would be cool either way. Either you either beat Ohio State twice or you beat an SEC team.
Yeah, but you know, that, I wish it was Alabama and not Tennessee.
Yeah. So. I'll take either. But, again, next week we will know what that quarterfinal matchups is going to look like for Oregon and the rest of the field, Boise State, Arizona State, and Georgia. Can't wait, as Bart
can't
Scott
wait.
Said.
Can't wait. No, I mean, should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to having a great weekend of football.
Yes, and looking forward to the NFL action that is about to start here in about 4 minutes. Rashad, thank you as always.
My guy.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all out there. Merry Christmas.
And to all the listeners out there, thank you for rolling with us since 8 a.m. If you were with us the entire 2 hours, thank you. And thank you as always for listening to Football Sunday right here on Tanny the Fan. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.